Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside the episode titled Leadership Defined. So this was a great episode, David, because it got me really thinking about what leaders have and what they may not have and what makes a great leader. So you talked at the beginning of the episode about contradictory messages out there, because if you do a simple Google search on leadership, there's so many millions and millions of different ways to go about your business. But you broke it down to basically three things that you referred to as the leadership triad, which I thought was really great. You said that a good leader or a great leader has to have vision, first and foremost, for what they want. The second thing is 100% belief in that vision, that it can be done or can be accomplished. And then the third thing you said was just authenticity. And then you also added not caring what other people think. That sort of plays into that. So can you talk a little bit more about this these leadership qualities and where we may see them in present day or where we saw them in the past that makes people want to follow these amazing individuals?
So I always, you know, people have heard me say this a million times. I always look to nature for the truth. And I'm always looking at what is the essence? Like, what is the essence underneath all of these things? Why do they exist? What about them is important to life, to growth, to the, you know, to God's vision of the universe or whatever? And so I'd like to, like I said, I'd like to break it down to the essence of the thing. And here's the thing. There have been great leaders on both sides of the camp. You've got Hitler, right? Terrible person, great leader. He managed to get millions of people to do what he wanted them to do. Now, I don't want people to get too confused with, did they like him? Was it right? Was it wrong? Just look at the idea that here's a person who's a leader. Then you've got Gandhi, right? You've got Mandela, right? You know, you've got all these people throughout history, both good and bad, that have done leaders. And I was asking, okay, if you pick up your average leadership book and you look at these various people, they're not absolutes. Because some people will say, be a great leader, you have to be a kind person. Was Hitler a kind person? Don't think so, right? Yet he got a bunch of people to do what it is that he wanted to do. So I'm like, what is the commonality? What is the common denominator in all great leadership? Look at Christ, right? Look at the Buddha. Look at all these different people. And I thought, well, what's the first thing? What would be the very first thing? Well, number one is they have vision. They have something that they want to be, do, or have in that vision. And the vision's not theirs. They received the vision, right? It was either over time or instantly or however it worked out, but they had a vision. They saw something that they wanted or that they wanted to do. If the person is doing it, they had to have the belief that they could do it. It must be there. The belief has got to be there. Well, what's interesting about all these different leaders is that unequivocally, they had 100% belief. Like if you go back and you study these people, anybody who's done something great, they had an ironclad belief that it could be done. And then I thought, what would be the very next thing in this that would be important based on everything that you read and what is the actual truth about it? The thing that stood out to me the most was their uniqueness. So they uniquely communicated and behaved in ways that was authentic to who they were and to what the vision was. But that's different for every person. Like authenticity is individual. It's not a copycat of somebody that you're following, right? We can look to other people for inspiration, but I think what's really important is to understand that if we have a purpose, right, there's a vision, there is the belief for the vision, and there's the authenticity in the unique way that we actually show up in the world. That's the three, those are the three foundational pieces of leadership. You can talk about hard work. You can talk about honesty. You could talk about leading from behind or leading from the front or always being to do, always be willing to do what other people, you know, that's one that gets contradicted all the time. A great leader is always willing to do everything that they ask from their people. And you have the other people say, no, they don't, because if they had to do that, they would never be able to lead. They would never get anything done. So, like, there's all these crazy arguments for why one's good, why another one, you know, isn't good. You could say, if you come from the place of you have to treat people kind, well, then I guess Steve Jobs was not a good leader. But if you look at what he's accomplished, you'd have to say Steve Jobs is a good leader, right? So I think that we get very much hung up on these little particular quirks of how a person is showing up. But we're not asking ourselves, what's the fundamental thing that's controlling the quirk? It's them being authentic. It's their authenticity, right? Because your purpose is not kept from you, the universe doesn't hold anything back. It had to be three absolutes that show up everywhere with every person with no contradiction. And I have yet to find any person anywhere that I've studied that not fit those three things.
Wow, that's great. As you were saying that, you're hitting all the names of the people that I wrote down when you went through the episode itself. But I'm gonna start with the quote by Aristotle. And Aristotle basically said, he who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Because I'm conflicted a little bit. And maybe you can help me kind of understand and reframe it a little bit so that I understand it. So I'm thinking about like modern day leaders. And I'm thinking that no way in hell are they very good followers. Like immediately what came to my head was Bill Belichick, who's the coach of the New England Patriots, probably considered one of the greatest football coaches of all time. Great in leadership, but as a secondary or as someone who was working underneath someone else, he got the job done, but it was constant conflict. Think about President Trump. I don't know if that dude ever followed anybody in his life. You mentioned Steve Jobs, another person who definitely, maybe not necessarily a great follower, but a fantastic leader. Elon Musk, another person. So can you help me reframe how a person has to be a good follower in order to be a good leader?
Because it's not necessarily a person they're following. It's the vision.
Okay.
So they're obedient to the vision or where they believe the vision came from, whether it's God or the universe or whatever. However they verbalize it. Everybody verbalizes it different. Some people just say, well, I got a big ego like Trump, whatever. But they're obedient to the vision.
To the vision.
They follow the vision.
Okay, that's where I was getting hung up because I was thinking a follower is someone who follows a person.
Right.
You're saying following the vision of where they want to go.
But it could be a person, right?
It could be,
so,
yeah.
And like, here's what I do know about Trump. Norman Vincent Peale was somebody that he studied diligently.
It's very true.
Right? You know? And he uses, like, if you watch Trump and you read Norman Vincent Peale, you'd be like, boom, that's where he got it from. That's normal Norman Vincent Peale. Speak what you want into existence.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all Trump does.
Oh, great. Yeah, that makes so much more sense now because I was thinking following, and like you said, it could be a person, but it can also be a vision or something that you can't necessarily put your fingers on, but you know it's there and it's guiding their lives. Okay, apparently I'm really heavy on quotes in this particular episode because there was another quote that came to mind when you were talking about this. Leaders are made, not born. So in your words, first of all, does that comment or quote make sense to you? And if so, what does it take to be a great leader? Like leaders are not made, not born. What does that mean?
I don't.
It's a tricky one for me because I feel like, you know, everyone has within their being the ability to be a leader, a good leader, maybe not a great leader, but a leader. So you can, well, like, let's take your vision, belief, and authenticity. You know, a person can study and learn and work the muscle to get there. They're not necessarily born with that, right? But they are making themselves by their study. So I don't know what I'm trying to say here other than that quote jumped out of my head when you had mentioned it. Leaders are made, not born.
I think that it's a little bit of both. A person is not a born leader in the full context of what they look like at their height of their leadership, okay? But they're born with a purpose. They're born with a vision. I think what happens is that in life, you have two people that are born. They're growing. One person becomes aware of their vision, and they start to follow it, and they become a leader. The other person becomes a copycat of everybody else, and they go that way. So this person's always growing at that point because the vision is the dominating factor. The vision becomes God, right? You do whatever the vision says has to be done. It doesn't matter what it is. When you argue with the vision, then you start going back down. But if you do what the vision tells you to do and you're always making the adjustments, you're a great follower and you become a great leader.
That's great. Who are your personal role models when it comes to leadership? Who are some people that you yourself looked up to, whether it's in life in general or in business, that you would like to maybe emulate what they do?
The big piece for me here was not so much the vision. It was the authenticity and the belief. So I looked at people who were very, very unique in that they weren't creating something that they followed from somebody else. So they weren't like...
Would we call those like modern day disruptors, like people that were not following the typical trajectory and doing it their own way with their own style?
Look like Steve Jobs. He wasn't following somebody else. He had a vision that he wanted to create something that nobody had ever seen before, right? So he's very inspiring to me, especially from the aspect of that he had the vision, he knew what his limitations were, he knew what his strengths were, and he doubled down on the strengths, right? He didn't worry about fixing the limitations. He doubled down on the strengths, and he wouldn't let go of the vision for anything. He wouldn't let somebody talk him out of the vision. Even if part of the vision that he created was wrong, he then went back and fixed it to get it right. But you couldn't get in between him and the vision. I was a huge fan, I still am, although he's passed now, of Karl Lagerfeld because of the authenticity, right? If you study Lagerfeld's career, you watch him do nothing but become more and more authentic of who he is. And because of that, more and more prolific. Like when he died, he was, this is interesting. Like I talk to people sometimes and they'll say that their favorite designer is Chanel, right? And it's like, it's interesting. You know, Coco Chanel died in 1971. She hasn't designed anything since probably 69 or 70. You're really a fan of Karl Lagerfeld because since 1983, I believe, Lagerfeld has been the head designer for Chanel. He was also the head designer for Fendi. He was the head designer for Lagerfeld. And then there were some other houses that he worked at, you know, briefly in and out of time. But he created two major fashion lines that came out six times a year, for two major fashion houses, too, the largest in the world, right? And he did it all himself. Plus, he did the photography. He did the studios, or he did the sets for the runway sets, like all the themes and all of this stuff. He wrote and narrated books. Like, he was prolific, but he stayed in his lane of who he was and what he did, and he didn't step out of it for a second, not one second. He maintained the vision, stayed where he was, did not get overly high on himself, but what he did do was he became more and more authentic. So that got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So the belief stayed, the vision stayed, and the authenticity grew tremendously. And so did his production grew tremendously. So, and he was a character. Like, he's been known for saying some really whacked out shit over the years and having some major contentions with certain people over the years. But I have always been impressed with any person who authentically accepts himself. Keith Richards is another one, right? Whether you love him or hate him, one of the amazing things about that man was that he completely accepted who he was from the days that he was a drug addict, you know, everything that he did in his life. And he never made apologies to anybody. He's like, this is who I am. So it's always been people like that. I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. Why is he so? We have him in the studio today here. We have little McGregor. You there fucking bastard, you shite.
Gonna have to go on YouTube to see that.
Yeah, put him on the YouTubes. this is a, I've watched his career. Here's a guy who really, as he became, as his belief, he had a vision. He's had a vision for a long time since he was a kid. He had a vision that nobody else saw. Nobody ever thought that that anybody in Ireland would ever get to the UFC, let alone become a world champion. As he was doing that, he became more and more authentic. He really saw and accepted and expressed and exaggerated this person of who he is. And that's what's made him a living legend, because he's been able to do that. The other thing is that when he steps into the fullness of that, it rises him above everybody else, because nobody can compete with authenticity. You have the people that look like idiots that try to copy him, but if he's authentic, you can't copy it, right? So he becomes enormous. But then anybody who accepts their authenticity like that and magnifies it to the world, they rise right to the top, because it's unique and people are attracted to that uniqueness.
Yeah. And every person has that inside of them. The ability right now, yep. if you were to just accept who you are as a person and not make any excuses for it and be who you are and live authentically and celebrate your own uniqueness, you would essentially have a piece of that triad that's going to make you a great leader and have people want to follow you, want to work with you, want to be around that energy.
That's right.
And every single person has it.
Every person.
But there's a lot of people out there who probably will push back and say, well, I'm just not a leader. I'm one of them. I'm like, nobody would ever listen to what I have to say. No one would ever, you know, want to care about following me or being a leader. And I've always said I'm not a great leader. I'm more of a follower. But having said that, I have people come up to me having listened to the podcast and they say things like, you know, I really like how you're being more authentic as this goes on. And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't really feel like I'm doing that, but maybe I am. So I love that authenticity is a major part of that triad, because without it, none of this stuff matters or none of this stuff works. You know, I love that. That's great.
And you are a leader. And you're becoming more authentic,
yeah.
Right?
I think that's important.
You recently started teaching about how we run our podcast and how we built and run the studio and all the equipment and everything. And you do a presentation at some of our business seminars. And you're fantastic up there, and everybody loves you. Everybody says the same thing. You're great. It was fantastic. And I watch you up there and I'm like, you're just being you.
Yeah.
You're being the guy that I've known for 10 years
showing it. Yeah. 'Cause how many masks do we hide behind? I mean, it's so crazy. There's so many. And once you drop those masks, and I still, you know, I think everybody probably has a mask or two that they continue to wear and they don't want to let anybody in around that sort of painful situation. But I find that the people who draw me in are the people who are authentic and they live their life this way. That's why, you know, working with you over the past 10 plus years, you are who you say you are. There's a lot of people in this industry who are not who they say they are. That's and we correct. Know who they are. You are who you say you are. There's no faking it, no fronting. This is how we run our business. And I think that's why your team stays, because, you know, turnover in this industry is, you know, pretty consistent. With you, we stay because we believe, like, when you want to talk about leadership, you know, you've got the vision for what you want. You've got 100% belief in where you're going and where you're taking this, and you're authentic in how you do it. There's no better example of that, you know, leadership triad than you sitting in front of me right now.
Yeah, just keep moving forward.
Just keep moving forward. Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. So before we wrap this up, it's funny because you do a Google search on leadership and you get all manners of books and things like that. And even lists, like there's even lists you can rank the best leaders of all time. And you actually mentioned several of them. I'll just rattle off the ones that I came up with in a simple search. Gandhi was up there. Mandela, whom you mentioned. Martin Luther King Jr., who really brought people in his message and equality and the social issues of the time. Abraham Lincoln, another one. George Washington, one of our forefathers. Napoleon made the list. FDR, and then Winston Churchill. Now, there was other lists that also included Hitler. And I know people will be like, I can't believe you just said that. Yeah. It's true. He was a leader, like you said. Not necessarily a great person. Absolutely not saying that. But he did have tremendous leadership qualities. So that's just a list of some of the greatest leaders of the world. Before we close out, can you recommend any like good books or films that you feel the listeners could take some leadership qualities from and emulate them in their life and business? I think you've already mentioned, you know, Lagerfeld and Keith Richards. There's probably two there that you would recommend studying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a film called Lagerfeld Confidential. It's kind of hard to get a hold of. It might be back out on iTunes now. I got it back when it was a DVD, but anyway, it's kind of a light documentary on his life, but what really shows through is his authenticity and the way he thinks and views the world. I like what I really like are these biographies and autobiographies of people. So Keith Richards' life, Kobe Bryant's movie Kobe. There's several around Michael Jordan. There's a great one around Billy Graham called, what is it called? Look it up really quick. What's the one on Billy Graham? Is it This Is My Life or?
Let me check real quick.
As I Am, something like that.
Leadership Secrets, An Extraordinary Journey. No, that's a movie. I'll see if I can find it here. And it's about, you said Billy Graham.
Billy Graham autobiography, yeah.
Yeah. Leadership Secrets. I thought it was As I Am.
I think it's As I Am.
Yeah. I'll cut this in.
It's quite a big book.
Yeah. Just As I Am.
Just As I Am. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Just As I Am. I mean, I could, you know, I've got a ton of them. But I look for the people, again, in all of your lists, here's the thing. You're not going to find anybody in there that wasn't authentic. It's
true.
It's like all these other qualities that we talk about in leadership, you're going to find exceptions to them. You won't with these three. You're absolutely not. There's even exceptions with the idea of people caring what I think. Like, there's been a lot of great leaders that really did care what other people think, not in a good way. Like, we all should care about what people think in a way like, Are we developing a good product or a good service or, you know, those types of things, you know, caring about people in general, but not negativity and criticism and haters type stuff. There have been leaders that have had that issue, but none that didn't have vision, belief, and authenticity. Like, those are the three attributes. All these other attributes that people write about, all these other authors that write about this stuff, all of those other attributes exist in the top three, vision, belief, and authenticity. You'll find every other attribute in there, whether it's discipline, hard work, love, treating people well, leading from behind, leading from the front, like all the different qualities, charismatic, outspoken, direct, like everything that is in those qualities, you'll find in those three. They're all actually from cause and effect, the law of cause and effect, they're effects of those three. That's what they are. The like hard work and discipline, which are really, really big ones, when a person's following the vision, they're in love with that vision. So it doesn't feel like hard work and discipline to them. It's not something where they gotta make myself do this every freaking day. Like, who would want to work for somebody that came in with an attitude like that? That would not be a really good leader. But when somebody's following the vision, they don't have that issue.
Yeah. So if you're struggling right now, you know, getting to a workplace or, you know, getting up to run your business, chances are you're probably not in the right business if you're having to drag yourself into every situation.
Like, if you're spending 1 minute doing something that you don't like and it's not for a good reason, like you're bridging a gap for something for a short period of time, get the hell out. Stop. I mean, yeah. It's nuts. We live in a world now that it's accessible to anybody to basically do anything. Every piece of information we could ever ask for is under Google, you know. Just look it up and figure out how to do it and then, you know, commit your life to it. Be a disciple of your vision. You know, be the follower. That's where you have to be the follower. That vision will lead you to every step of the way of what it is that you need to do. And everything comes out because of it. Discipline, courage, you know, passion, like all of that stuff is in those three.
And you can start that today.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
What's your vision?
Love it. Yeah, vision, belief, and authenticity.
Every event that I do, I start off by saying, what do you guys want?
Right.
What do you want? Because if nothing makes sense, like if I'm going to teach you for 3 days, or I'm going to take you through Date with Your Dark Side or something else, if you don't know what you want, have some idea of what you want coming out the other side, it's just nonsensical information. Like, what are you going to do with it? You can't relate it to applying it to anything in your mind. So knowing what you want, it doesn't matter how small you start or how big you start, having some idea of what you want will open that door to the vision. You just have to continue to follow it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for coming inside, David.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.